So it's really, really ironic. The next guest that's going to be coming up here, I didn't know him this time last year. And not only have I been working with him, but I've also can now call him a friend. We actually text back and forth. And he's just one of the most genuine guys that you've ever met. It's not Tyler Otto. No, but he's just a heck of a person. And when he was up today and I was talking about empathy, he does typify that. What is empathy? And so I'm so excited about what he's going to be sharing, because we've talked about, hey, building this business around your life, right, that supports your life. But he's going to go even higher than that. He's going to give you a little background about himself, I hope, unless I'm putting words in your mouth. But I'd love for you to welcome to the stage BKX 2022, Bob Dye.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. You made it to the final session. So hasn't this been a wonderful day?
Yeah.
It's just been awesome. Yeah, it's been great. You know, last year was my first BKX, and I got to tell you, especially for those of you who are new this year, that everything in my life and business has changed over the past 12 months. I mean, just in incredible good ways. And the information that you get here, and you've heard it already said, I'm not telling you anything new. The relationships that you begin to foster here will just last for the next year and years beyond. Calling people, having people as mentors, people that are there to help you, people you can cry on their shoulder, you can, you know, just share whatever you need to share, and they're always so supportive. And that's really what has come out of this conference for me, and I hope the same for each and every one of you. Now, some of you know that I am a former pastor. Therefore, I will be taking an offering after this session. And I do take cash, checks, and Melio bill pay. So there you go. So that kind of works. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, we're going to be talking about incorporating mission into your business. And, you know, whenever Ben shared with me that he wanted or asked me to talk about this subject and a little bit about what we do, you know, it was interesting because I thought, well, how many folks work with churches or ministries here? So many, I mean, it's like, what, maybe 1%? And so I thought, how in the world am I going to help folks to, you know, to give them ideas and information about incorporating mission into their businesses whenever you're working with churches, which is what my niche is and what and who I work with, whenever really their middle name is mission, right? They even have people called missionaries. And so it's kind of like all built in, right? And so so that kind of comes naturally. So I thought, okay, hopefully I can dig into this, which I did, and did some studying and research. And how can we not only understand for those of us who might work in the nonprofit world to do this, but across the board in every single industry? And I think that there's some great ways for us to be able to do that in our businesses, and it produced great rewards. Well, a little bit about Bob. What about Bob? Well, I'm from Northern California. I'm a husband, and my lovely wife is here with me this week, and a father of five and grandfather of three, amazing kids. And I am a former pastor in recovery, I jokingly say. And my background is also in ministry banking. Now, in my background, I've been a senior pastor. I've also been an executive pastor and served many years in that field and also in the finance world in banking. And I worked with an organization called Evangelical Christian Credit Union. And there, I actually did church loans and cash management for churches and ministries. So really, all of my life, it's always been around ministry or churches and finances. And so that's always come together for me. About 4 years ago, I began to think about starting this thing called Good Shepherd Bookkeeping. And I'd have friends that would call me up and would ask me, well, how do you do this? And how do you do this in QuickBooks? And how do you, you know, what about chart of accounts? And what should that look like for churches? And I began to understand that there's a real need for this out there. And so I started Good Shepherd Bookkeeping. I started working with a few churches there in the local area. But then whenever I did originally start, I thought, well, you know, I need to put food on the table. So I kind of go out and I start, you know, whoever would talk to me, I want to talk to them about bookkeeping. And so I began to bring on several different clients. I actually have a Schnauzer breeder. I have a psychologist who works with first responders, and also a thrift shop in Half Moon Bay, who are still wonderful clients with me. But then I joined Bookkeeper Launch. And there I heard Ben, you know, just talk about, you need the niche, you need the niche, you need the niche. And I got to thinking, well, what is it that I know? I know churches and I know ministries. And so let's just do this thing. And so I began to go down this path and really just went exclusive with churches and ministries for new onboarding. And it really began to take off. And just some really wonderful things began to happen. So listen to Ben. There really is a power in niching and niching down into whatever especially could be your expertise. What are you familiar with? What do you know and understand? And then begin to niche in that. Well, I want to share with you a story about Hope Ministries, a lady named Lee, and mission alignment. Hope Ministries is one of the ministries that I work with in Northern California. They're not far from where I live. They're actually a homeless shelter for families. They work a lot with single moms and children that are homeless and provide housing for them and food and help them to get back on their feet again and that sort of thing. They have an annual fundraiser called Night of Hope. And in this fundraiser, they always have one of their clients come up and share a testimony about what their experience has been in the ministry and what happened in their life and the transformation that came in their life. And so my wife and I got to go to this event, and there was a woman named Lee, got up and began to share her story. And she told the story of how that she was addicted to methamphetamine. She had two children. She was a single mom. She was completely homeless, living on the streets, didn't know what to do. And she came to Hope Ministries and said, I need help. And they brought her into the emergency family shelter. She still really struggled with her addiction. And she just couldn't make it through the program. She ended up leaving the program and going back out into the community. It wasn't long where her life was just in shambles again, and she shared, really with tears in her eyes, she shared, I had to come back. I knew I had to come back, and I needed to get help. And so they helped her with her addiction, and they helped her to get through a very difficult period of time. And then she went into their transitional housing, where they helped her to find a job and to begin to pay rent and all of that. She shared this whole story that was just amazing. I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, you know, I know this name. I know this name because one of the things that Hope Ministries does is, of course, they collect rent whenever it's according to their means and that sort of thing. But also, they hold back 10% of that rent in a trust fund to give back to them when they leave the program. Plus, they have a rent deposit, and they also have a savings account for them if they want to put away in a savings account. So one of the things I do as their bookkeeper is, of course, post all this and journal entries and transferring things and making sure the funds are where they're supposed to be. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me that this lady standing here is more than just a name in QuickBooks, that it's a real living human being that matters. And her life is being changed in and through this ministry. And I thought, wow, it's a little bit more in terms of what I'm involved in here in simply bookkeeping, as wonderful as that is. But there was that connection there. And it was neat because afterwards, I got to go up and meet her and talk to her a little bit. And she shared a little more of her story where she eventually came out of that program. And she, over time, got remarried and got a job, place to live, and is doing wonderfully now. And so I was just so moved and so blessed to be able to hear this story of Lee and what happened in her life and to know that, you know, by me helping this ministry, I am helping them to be able to accomplish something really, really good. And that felt really good. And that's where I began to think about this idea of mission and this realization that we really do have a stake in furthering our clients' mission. And so I want to talk about three different things related to our mission. First of all is defining our mission, understanding what our mission is, and then secondly, looking at discovering our clients' mission And then third, how we might be able to align those two together. And you know, I do think that this does go beyond just ministry, though. It goes beyond churches. And I think that this could be applicable to each and every one of our businesses, that we can truly help our clients achieve what their mission is, and by doing that, achieving what ultimately our mission is, and finding joy and satisfaction in that. The definition of mission is that it is a strongly felt aim, ambition, or calling. A strongly felt aim, ambition, or calling. It's really just who you are. Who you are at your core. What do you want to accomplish? And some of the things that we can begin to ask ourselves, I need to get some water if anybody has some, don't mind. Some right there? I'm so sorry to interrupt, but my mouth is so dry. Sorry about that. It is. It's the humidity. I know it. We don't have this in California. Okay, thank you. Sorry about that. So mission is really what is important to us. So we can ask ourselves, why are we in business? Well, of course, to put food on the table, and, you know, wonderful that we want to build businesses. Whether, you know, everyone here is in a different place, right? Some of us, we want to stay home from work, or we want to be home with our kids, or we want to build $10 million businesses, whatever the case may be. But there is a reason why we do what we do. And in a lot of ways, though, it's more than number crunching, because we want to be able to also fulfill goals and dreams and a vision that we have. And maybe part of that is, well, we want to travel, or we want to go and do amazing things, or we want to help others. And that's where, you know, what's interesting is I think that this comes down to others and helping others. And I think this is where it maybe crosses over into each and every business, because I think that if you were to talk to just about any business owner, one of the things that they would say is, I want to help my clients. I want to help them do better. So whether it's dentists or chiropractors or whoever it is we may be working with, plumbers, whatever, they're going to say, you know, I want to be the best I can be for my client. I want my client to do well. I want to help them however I can help them. And so really you begin to see a theme that if that's the thing that we focus on, serving others, helping others, and finding out what's important to our clients, and then trying to help them to get to where they want to be, that is a very important part of fulfilling our mission. And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, houses of worship do have that natural inclination towards mission. And, you know, we could ask ourselves, how does that apply to my niche? But again, I think that all of us, I know, because I know a lot of you, that you want to serve others and you want to help others. It's interesting, if I could just speak theologically for just about 30 seconds. Jesus talked about the Great Commandment, and in that he said, love others as you love yourself. And I think that's interesting because whenever you think about that, how do we love ourselves? We provide for ourselves. We provide, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, in all of these different ways. We also try to minimize pain points and those sorts of things in our own lives. But then what he's saying there is, well, in the same way that you do that, the same way that you take care of yourself, you can also take care of others. And I think that if that simple principle is a business model for us, that if we get to know our clients, what is your pain points? Or what are your pain points? What are the things that are important to you? What are the things you're desiring to accomplish in your personal life, in your business, whatever it might be? And then if I say, well, I want to help you to get there. I want to serve you. I want to just do whatever I can to help you to accomplish that. What kind of relationship would that be between you and your client? And it is different than number crunching, because it begins to become more of a relationship. We've talked about that today, right? you know, about transactions and relationships. It becomes more of a relationship because you're really helping, you're really understanding what their mission is and then coming alongside them in that. It's interesting because, again, I'm really trying to figure out this thing, how do we move out of churches and that sort of thing, and I actually went online and I found this best moving company, and I thought, okay, so if I want to align my mission with best moving company, what might that look like? Well, if this is their mission, vision, and values. So if you read what they have, it says, to help every customer have a positive, memorable experience. Okay. Can anyone align with that? I think probably all of us can align with that. Their vision is to have a positive impact on the lives of customers and our team, and their values to be open, honest, and fair. Whatever we do it right, and we do it together. So if we have this idea that we want to help our clients, how could we then help them to accomplish their mission, vision, and values? So I think there's a lot of overlap there. I think there's a lot of things we can do if we begin to think of it just in a little bit different way, or maybe a little bit more than I'm just simply delivering financials on the 15th of every month. I'm just simply, you know, doing journal entries and those sorts of things, but helping them in this way, and it becomes more of a relationship. Perspective from a fellow B. Eller, bookkeeper launch person. This is Mr. Tyler Otto. He got picked on a lot today, man. I'm going to pick on you here. But what I wanted to do was to ask somebody that I knew, a friend, and say, okay, how do you do this in your world? How do you incorporate mission into your business? And of course, many of you know Tyler is in the hospitality industry, working with hotels and all. And so I asked him, okay, how do you do this? And he gave me some feedback on that. He said, well, first of all, we protect our clients. We protect our clients by having their back and giving them reliable data and actionable insights. Any client can go find a bookkeeper. We want to be viewed as their partner. That's the key word there. Someone they have a relationship with. Someone they trust and seek insights from, like they would a friend. So that's a great mission statement there. You see how it integrates, though, in with his clients? And really, this is him serving others. And so he talks about protecting them, having their back, being viewed as a partner rather than a vendor. We don't want to be a vendor to our clients. We want to be their partner. We want to help them. And also even being a friend. And then he also said, related to his team, serve our staff. In order to ensure our clients get this level of service, our most important priority is to give our employees their dream job. We advertise flexibility, fun, and growth opportunities. If we live up to the standards that we promise to our staff, we have happier employees who go out of their way to take care of our clients. Can I be your employee, Tyler? Oh, that's great, though. Because here's the other key is it's not just about our clients, it's about our team, if for those of you who have teams, right? We also need to understand what their dreams are, what their mission is, what their vision is, what's important to them, and how do we serve them. So we're serving our clients, we're serving our team, and ultimately fulfilling our mission and vision in building our business and in becoming what we desire it to be. And then he also said, if I find I approach every day with the intent to give some more to my employees. They end up reciprocating and passing on that servant mentality to our clients. I love my team because they took a chance on me and I have trusted them with my livelihood. They realize and take care of my clients in an act of reciprocating that respect. So whenever you treat your staff well, they're going to treat your clients well. And it's kind of this circle of life kind of a thing that happens. And then... your mission is fulfilled. So developing your mission and values, where do we start with this? How do we even begin to do this? I think the first thing that we have to do is to take it seriously. I know I do, and I know I don't have a lot of time in a week, but I think this is one of the main things that I try to focus on in my business, is understanding what I would like to accomplish in and through my business, but not just from a financial standpoint, which those goals are all there, believe me. Ben and I have talked about that. But at the same time, I also want to understand, how can I help my clients achieve their goals and their mission? And so I also want to take some time. I love what Ben Day said, to take time for a brain dump, you know, to spend some time. And maybe you could incorporate some of this into that. How can I serve my clients better? How can I understand who they are and help them in what they're doing? You can also talk about this with your clients or with your team or family member, significant other. That'll help you to get some insights. It's always a work in progress. And so I do want to encourage you, though, to take some time to get some paper. Doesn't have to be real elaborate or anything, but ask yourself some questions like, what's important to me? What's important to me in this business? What do I want to get out of it? How do I want to impact my clients? How do I want to make a difference in the world? This could even go beyond your business. You know, what are my goals within my family and all of these kinds of things? You can just put all that down on paper and understand this in a holistic way in terms of how we can reach those goals. We actually put together for our company a flyer that has our core values. And so I tried to think this through and put it down on paper. So that's what I'm encourage everyone to do, is to actually get it on paper or computer. This form will, or flyer, if you will go out with every single proposal that we send out. And so all of our clients will see this, and they'll understand that, you know, these are the things that are important to us as a company. Then ask yourself how your vision can align with your client's mission, vision, and values. So I'm going to go through each of those three there and just kind of share with you what I did. Feel free to plagiarize it. I don't care. There's no copyright or anything. Or make up your own or whatever you like to do. We have three core values at Good Shepherd Bookkeeping. First of all, we're ministry-minded. At our core, we serve ministries, helping them to focus on mission rather than money. Our ultimate goal is for ministries to thrive financially so they can expand their vision and serve people by loving God in their communities even more. We want to help them to be a force in their community for good. We want to help them to not have to worry about finances, and they could be healthy financially so they can make an impact in their community. Secondly, we are excellence-driven. We're committed to producing excellence. We strive to be detail-oriented, responsible, and focused on how we can best take care of our ministry clients' needs. We endeavor to always look for ways we can improve and deliver excellence in our product, processes, and interactions. That's the editor-in-chief in me right there. That's what I got in the profile earlier. Very detail-oriented. But that's what one of our core values are, is that not only do we want to help ministries to thrive and be able to do more in their communities, but we also want them to have confidence that what they're receiving is excellent. And then third, growth-oriented. While we look forward to our company growing and expanding our reach to serve more ministries, we also seek growth in other ways. We want to help churches and ministries grow in their reach and service to others. We also want to grow as a team, serving and encouraging one another to reach our goals both inside and outside of our work. So again, it's outward focused, it's also inward focused. And so it's very important for our team to also be accomplishing their mission and their goals in life. We want to help them towards that. So these are the values that we came up with for our company. The second thing, once you develop your mission, your vision, your goals, however you want to phrase that, it's kind of, they do overlap somewhat, discover your client's mission. I really want to encourage you to get to know your client in maybe a little bit deeper level and understand who they are. Understand what are the things that are important to them. What do they want to accomplish? And so one of the ways to do that is just ask a million questions. Just ask questions and spend time with them. Now, what's interesting about this, I put ask early and ask often, because I think the best time that you're going to be able to get information about or from a client about their business or about their church or ministry or whatever is whenever you first meet them. Tell me about your business. Tell me a little bit about what you do. Tell me a little bit about what motivates you. What, maybe ask them, what is your mission? Do you have a mission statement? You know, those kinds of things where you just get to know them a little bit, take notes, but make sure to listen. Very, very important to listen to what they tell you, because it's going to be cues for you to be able to find some things that you can connect, some connecting points, to be able to understand, like, wait a minute, I can help you with that. Wait a minute, I know about that. Maybe I can serve you in this way because of what you shared about that. Maybe I could come alongside you as a trusted partner rather than a vendor and help you to get to the place you want to be. Also, don't be afraid to talk about business or talk beyond business. Ask them, you know, tell me a little bit, what do you like to do on your time off, or, you know, that sort of thing. You know, I think as you get to know folks, you can certainly do that and just be a friend, just be friendly to them. I do a two-step approach kind of along this line, and I'll share with you what that is. And when I have a consultation, I don't talk a lot about bookkeeping in that first consultation. And the reason why, and it could be somewhat my audience with churches and ministries, having been a pastor before, I understand a lot of what pastors are going through. But what I like to do is I'll have an introductory call, will be the first one. And then I'll ask them questions. Tell me about your ministry. Tell me about what you do. Tell me about what's important to you and those sorts of things. And then I'll share with them a little bit about who I am and who Good Shepherd Bookkeeping is. Then I'll say, okay, tell me, what are the pain points that you're struggling with financially now or with your bookkeeping? You know, why are you, you know, what's the purpose of the call? What are your needs? That sort of thing. And then get some of that information. Now, from there, I'm not sure if that would work in everyone else's scenario, but it works great in mine, because from there, I can be able to get to know them a little bit, they get to know me a little bit, they feel comfortable, then I can say, okay, I have this questionnaire that I'd like for you to fill out. And so whenever you send that back to me, then I'm going to set up another call within, I turn that around like in 24 hours, but I'll do another call, and then I'll go through my bookkeeping proposal at that point. But it served well because I think they appreciate the fact that I take the time to get to know them a little bit. I'm not trying to waste their time at all. I really want to know them because I really want to serve them. And we talk about that. And like I say, it's worked out very well in my world, at least. Inner City Philadelphia Church. I want to share with you a quick story about that. It was a phone call, one of these initial phone calls. And able to get on to Zoom with the pastor there. And I ask him, yeah, tell me about your church. What's going on? He says, well, we're in inner city Philadelphia. Do you know an area called Kensington? I said, no, I don't. I've never heard of Kensington. He said, well, our area here in Philadelphia has one of the highest rates in the nation for opioid deaths. And I said, oh, wow. And he said, yeah, basically, we're ground zero for the opioid crisis in the United States. Oh, man. And so he's sharing all this with me. He says, you know, and I said, well, what kinds of things are you doing in the community? He said, well, the biggest thing for us is this. We want everybody we come into contact with to know that they are special and they are loved. That's the most important thing. I said, wow, that's great. I want to work with you guys. Where do I sign up? but it was a great conversation. And then he shared with me that they have a school, K through fourth grade. He says, you know, we really just want to make sure that the kids are doing okay and helping them out. And so then, you know, we go on from there and we talk about bookkeeping and all. And they have a gentleman who's 74 years old, been doing it for 20 years. And he does it as a volunteer. And now he's going to shift out. And so it was a great conversation. So he's going to send me back the questionnaire. We're going to take it to the next step. But it's those kinds of things to just have that kind of conversation. And that's the thing I love to do. I love to do that. I do that all day long. I just enjoy meeting these folks and having these conversations. And so in that, I am looking for connecting points. How can I help them? How can I serve them? How can I be a blessing to them? And then look for alignment with your mission and goals and theirs. Well, also part of this, I did a highly scientific research project. Basically, I just put a question out on one of the bookkeeper launch groups. And because, again, I'm trying to figure out, how do some of you guys do this out there with mission and incorporating into your business? And I asked Becky Frampton. I think Becky's here. I think I saw her earlier. Hi, Becky. I want to meet you later. Thank you for this, by the way. I did copy it. I may have to pay you royalties. I don't know. But anyway, Becky got back. So here's the question. I put a question out there. I said, how do you incorporate mission into your business? This response is from Becky, and it really stood out to me. She said, my mission is simple, help others. There's the help others thing, right? Help others. This comes in many forms, but I've chosen to set up my business in such a way that my passion, mission is central to everything. She said, business owners need help understanding their finances and feeling in control of their decisions and their business. So with my mission as my focus, I'm now exponentially helping more and more people. When someone talks to me about what services Pachira, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Pachira offers, they can feel how passionate I am about what we do. And that makes all the difference. And she said, because of my mission, I'm able to connect with people in a very personal way, figure out what it is they need help with. They may not even know. Ever hear that before, or find that out whenever having a consultation? They may not know what they need exactly. And then celebrate their wins as a human being I care about and have been able to positively impact. Having my passion as a center for my business makes everything make sense and fit together. Wouldn't have it any other way. Thank you, Becky, for that. But I think she has a lot of great points. Some of the takeaways. Mission and passion are central to her business. She has thought this through, said, this is what I want to make central to my business. Yes, I do all of the QuickBooks entries and the reconciliations and all that. But this mission, this is central to my business. The second thing that I got from this is that she is excited to talk about what is important to her with her clients. That she enjoys doing that, having these conversations. And then her excitement about what she does is contagious to her clients. She connects well with her clients. She seeks to understand them, their needs and their goals, even helping them to formulate that if they don't know what they are. And then she celebrates wins with them. So I think that's great. That's a great example of being able to incorporate mission with your client's mission and begin to integrate. That leads me to step three. Integrate your mission with your client's mission. Well, mission integration, it's really probably nothing too terribly scientific here I'm giving you. Hopefully reminders and some nuggets that you can take away and maybe begin to do this, because I do believe it works very well, even in a sales process or a plan. But mission integration is basically bringing your mission and your client's mission together. So once you know what your mission is and you know what your client's mission is, how do those two come together? And I don't think it's any simple formula or 10-step plan or anything. It's really a philosophy and a mindset. I think it's how we live our lives. I think it's that being that kind of person that really cares about others, that has empathy about what others are going through and their situations. How can we help them be better? Maybe they're doing great. How do we help them be even greater? And so, you know, I see that being something, especially in the bookkeeper world, where we come in as consultants, if you will, partners, whatever you want to call it, but we have a very amazing and real opportunity to help people, to help them, help our clients to become better in some way, shape, or form. And I think that's an amazing thing that we get to do. And this affects your actions and your interactions with your clients. So also in terms of integration, we need to always be thinking about how we can help our clients fulfill their mission and goals. I really find that through relationship, through focus. I'm focused on this. I really do try to think about this in every phone call What are some touch points, some things that we have in common, intentionality, and then always add value. Every opportunity that you get, add value to your client, whether that is in a marketing piece that you're sending out some information or on a LinkedIn post or whatever, social media post, or you're working with a specific client, it's like, oh yeah, they're dealing with that. Let me send an article. Oh yeah, they're doing, you know, that is just so amazing for them to be like, oh, they took the time, they sent me this article just for, you. Hey, yeah, I was thinking about you or whatever. I think that just goes miles. And in some ways we can say, wait a minute, but I'm remote. And I think that's a real challenge, right? Because we do have a remote model. How do I understand and build relationship with clients or whoever they are, pastors, business owners in other states, people I've never met? And I think it's a unique challenge that we have. And one of the things that we've tried to do and we're going to start doing, actually this was my wife's idea. We're talking one day and she says, have you ever thought about going down to Mexico to visit one of the clients that we work with? And I said, no, that's a great idea. And so we're going to plan a trip and we're going to go down and visit one of our clients. 99 Plus One is a mission organization. They're down in San Felipe in Baja, Mexico. And they work with their community there. They work mainly with the elderly. They have a daycare for elderly folks because there's not a lot of elderly infrastructure in Mexico and that sort of thing. And so we've gotten to know them over the last year or so. And so we're going to plan a trip, go down, spend a couple of days, just work with them, just serve with them, hang out with them. And on the way, we have a couple of other churches we hope to visit, and also a staff member that is a remote staff member that works with us that we'd like to stop and visit. And so kind of putting all that in together, and I thought, why not? Let's go do road trips. Let's go visit our clients. And I know that's not always practical. That's not always, you know, something we can do. But if there's some intentionality with it, say, let me just go and maybe you just go and take them to dinner or something. Just hang out with them and spend some time, get to know them better. So we're excited to be able to do things like that. Well, mission alignment is that we understand that mission could be different with each client. It's going to be. But I think a niche really helps with that. Again, if you're working with one segment of or an industry, segment of business or industry, then it's likely that they're going to have some very similar pain points. They're going to have some similar goals. They're going to have some similar ways that they interact with their clients or try to fulfill their mission. And so you're going to see a lot of commonality there. So I think that's another good thing that comes from having a niche, that you can really drill down into this relationship partnership kind of idea versus just simply being a vendor. How can you help your clients find and fulfill their mission and in that fulfill your mission? Always be asking that question. And it may be perhaps as simple as serving, maybe as simple as serving their clients as best as possible. And then also random calls. I think Ben spoke of this earlier, and he does do this. Every now and then he'll just call up and, hey, how's it going? Or send a text or whatever. And I think that's good too with our clients. And I'm challenged in this because I don't always do that. I get busy and I'm doing stuff and in the middle of QuickBooks or whatever. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. Well, how about I just text Pastor so, hey, how's it going? Hey, thinking about you. How, you know, hope it goes well for you Sunday. Whatever, you know. And you do those kinds of things. I think simple things can just go a very, very long way. Well, what's the results of incorporating mission into your business? And this is where I really feel like that this is so important and the things that come out of it. And I've experienced these things. Whenever we incorporate mission into our business, we focus on what is important to our client rather than on the sale. Yet I have found in almost every case, the sale ends up coming. So whenever I'm talking to a client and I'm really focused on them, I'm focused on delivering something to them of value, I'm focused on being a partner to them, helping them in their business or in their ministry, I don't have to do any kind of high-pressure sales at all in that scenario. It's like, wow, this guy really cares and wants to work with me and that sort of thing and wants to help me. That just goes a long ways. And I have found that even in my approach, now for some of us that might be a slow approach, the way I do it, that two-parter thing or whatever. The other thing with churches is they have boards and they take forever to make decisions. So, you know, that's another caveat of that. So it could kind of be a process. But I think it's helpful because of that upfront, get to know you, mission-centric kind of a thing. And my close rate is pretty good. And then you also become a trusted partner, again, rather than a vendor. And then selling becomes rewarding rather than a drudgery. And I think for some of us, I hear folks share, it's like, man, sell. Oh, I could do bookkeeping all day long, but sell. You know, but I know this, for me, is a very natural process. It fits my personality. At least it may not fit everyone's personality here, but it also has shown to be not drudgery. It's been quite enjoyable, to be honest with you. And it doesn't feel like a sales process. It feels like a very natural thing that occurs, and then we go into business together as I help churches and ministries get to where they need to be. And this approach also brings personal satisfaction and joy, along with greater income and referral business. That's the other side effect that comes out of this, greater referral business. My business in year two over year one had a 100% increase in revenue over the previous year. And then year three, 128% increase in revenue over the previous year. And then this year we're projected 75% increase in revenue over the last year. And that's simply by just doing this approach that I'm sharing with you today. And so I'm a big believer in this, that it actually does work, but there's results and there's payoff with it. And it's been good. Family Life Christian Center. One of the things that I do is I work with some lenders. I still have some connections with lenders that work with churches. And every now and then, these lenders will get churches that they know that they qualify for a loan, but their financials are an absolute mess. So they'll call me up, hey, Bob, we need a 2-year cleanup. Hey, Bob, we need a 3-year complete build out because they're still using Excel sheets, you know, to do their accounting. And yeah, that happens in churches quite a bit, more than you know. But anyway, they need us to get their financials built out so they can get their loan approved. And we had one just over the past few months come, and they're buying a building. It's a younger church, amazing, wonderful people, but their financials were a mess. And so the lender gave those all over to us. We got them all cleaned up, and they're going to close escrow at the end of this month on their building. And, you know, that just feels good, right? It's like, yes! And so they're going to be able to impact their community and be able to make a greater difference in their ministry. Well, finally, mission in your team. So we talked about mission, our clients, integrating our mission, but mission in our team. Your team may be the greatest asset that you have in extending your mission out to your clients. They can help demonstrate company values in communication with clients. And it's important, you know, one of the things that we're desiring to do, we're in the process of doing this now, is building out our knowledge base. Some of you may use Notion. I think we're going to probably use Guru. But in that, I want to put in, as part of our month-end review, is to have a statement of our clients' pain points, of what they initially told me in that first interview that we had. And then in the month-end review, ask this question: how did we resolve our clients' pain points this month? How did we further their mission? So I think those are good questions for us to constantly be asking, maybe even monthly, but not just me, but our entire team. You know, are we focusing on their pain points and alleviating the pain? Are we focused on their mission and furthering their mission and helping them towards that? I think it's good to just always have that at the forefront. And do we know and understand our team members' mission, dreams, goals, and values? I try to intentionally get to know my team members and understand, what is it you'd like to do beyond Good Shepherd even? What are your life goals? How can I help you to get there? Those sorts of things. And I think that greater job satisfaction comes out of an environment of caring and opportunity for growth. Next steps. Don't be overwhelmed by any of this. I know you got a lot of information to take home with you today. Don't be overwhelmed by any of it. Just be yourself. Again, on that sales part, some of us are extroverts, some of us are introverts, or somewhere in between, and we kind of like, that sales thing's kind of interesting to us. But just be yourself. And I think this kind of approach really helps us to just be ourselves and then to get to know our clients in a very relational way. And remember, it is all about relationship and connecting around values. Start with your mission and branch out to your client's mission. And I just want to encourage you that you've got this. And then finally, some resources. Some things that I found in doing this research. I really want to recommend this one book, Selling with a Servant Heart by Jim Doyle. 10 Lessons on the Path to Joy and Increased Income. And he really talks about this approach, a little bit of what I shared earlier about getting to know your client and just being a servant to them, helping them, reaching out to them, helping them to attain their goals, and the success that comes as a result of that. So if you want a great book to read, it's pretty good. It's a pretty easy read, so I recommend it. And then The Customer Mission by Andrea Belk Olson is another book that is good. So many books that when I tried to do research, I didn't really see any books that talk specifically about incorporating mission into your business. There was a lot of customer-focused selling kinds of books, but these were a couple that I did find. And then finally, this BeehivePR.biz, Purpose, Mission, Values Alignment. It's a free download that you could get. And so you can just download that on your computer and be able to get some great information on how to align your vision with your client's mission. So that's all I have. I don't know if we have time for questions or anything, Ben.
Unfortunately,
no. We're out. Yeah.
Bob, thank you so much. That was great. Great job.